Welcome to Happy Hour. Happy Monday, everybody. Well, we made it. We survived yet another round of Death Storm 2024. And we made it back to actual reasonably nice spring weather today. How the hell we got there, but here the hell we are. Unfortunately, the tournament hopes Michigan State didn't make it through the weekend, nor did Oakland's, but to be fair, did a lot of people really expect them to. And the Wings didn't look so hot either. And we'll get to all that here coming up shortly. Plus, something I kind of want to touch on with regards to the tourney, the bitching of God's favorite conference, the SEC, about changes they'd like to see made to what is still one of my favorite sporting events of the year as it stands right now. And maybe there will be time to rip the Tigers between now and 6 o'clock, too. Who the hell knows? Stick around. It is Happy Hour at your local alternative, Solid State Radio. Bare hands at your local alternative, Solid State Radio. It is Happy Hour here on the kind of the hangover day from March Madness opening weekend. And you've gotten some quite fantastic matchups and upsets and things and near upsets over the course of the opening weekend. Of course, we talked about Oakland University getting their first ever tournament win, knocking off Kentucky. And it's that sort of stuff that I really rather enjoy about the tournament. The fact that you can have a team that you've never heard of in your life come in and give the big perennial contenders a real run for their money. I mean, of course, we watched the Oakland and Kentucky thing, and then last night, a school that I didn't even know existed up to this point, Grand Canyon University, I really thought had a shot to knock Alabama off. It's really what makes March Madness so much fun. It's what really just brings the magic to this tournament, this event every year. But if certain conference heads were to get their way, the magic that makes March Madness happen would no longer be a thing. Greg Sankey, the commissioner of the SEC, had some things to say about that. He went out there and told ESPN last week that, quote, "We're giving away highly competitive opportunities for automatic qualifiers from smaller leagues, and I think that pressure is going to rise as we have more competitive basketball leagues at the top end because of expansion." Basically saying that your mid-majors and your smaller conferences shouldn't have automatic bids for their champions because there's not enough of his conference's teams getting in. And I'm not going to lie to you. I took a little bit of what do they call schadenfreude at watching all of the SEC teams that were supposed to make runs in this tournament get blown out or eliminated by basically the little sisters of the poor. Auburn got knocked out. Kentucky, we know what happened to them. Florida got knocked out. Mississippi State got blown out by Michigan State. South Carolina, they got knocked out. Alabama barely got past Grand Canyon University, a school that you didn't know existed until about 5 seconds ago. And I loved, you just love to see it. It's really just in its purest form, the college basketball gods just looking down at Greg Sankey. But you know what? Oh, you want to talk about how your conference deserves more bids? Let's watch you get Kentucky knocked out by a Horizon League team. Let me know about that expansion there, bud. Let me know how it works out for you. Just the most instant form of karma for him and that garbage conference, and I absolutely love it. Because that's the beautiful thing about March Madness. It doesn't matter whether you won the SEC or you won, the Horizon League or the Ivy League or whatever. Everyone still gets a bid. Everyone still gets a shot. And when you put one of those powerhouse conferences and their best team up against some mid-major or some conference or school you never heard of and get them knocked out, you watch the SEC tournament champion get knocked out by an Ivy League school. It's what makes March Madness so much fun. And it's the thing that the SEC head just does not get about this sport. Like, don't do to the college basketball tournament what they're trying to do and probably ultimately going to do to college football, and ultimately just make it just the haves get all of the bids and the mid-majors, the group of five, can go F themselves. That's not a situation that, quite frankly, anybody wants, whether they want to admit it or not. And that goes double for March Madness. Here's the Struts, your local alternative is Solid State Radio. That is Alex Suxon. What are we doing here? Your local alternative is Solid State Radio. And one kind of interesting thing that's come out of the tournament, I mean, other than obviously Oakland getting its first ever win in the division and then promptly dropping a game to NC State that I really thought they had a chance to win. And also beyond the fact that the SEC has just looked terrible ever since Greg Sankey went out there and bitched about the minor conferences getting automatic bids. your tournament champion lost to Yale. How's that make you feel?
Dun, 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 dun.
It's just, like I said in the last segment, it's basically this instant karma for him going and running his mouth the way he did. So you get to pay for that by having all of your teams get just blown out. That's how that works. And then have Bama almost lose to Grand Canyon University, a team that, like I said,
You just made that up.
That's what I thought. Like, I had never heard of this school. You know, if we're gonna do the basketball thing, we gotta do this right. Give me the maestro, the music, please. Maybe. Possibly. Yeah, that's basketball right there, man. No. So Bama, like, at one point, like, very late in that game last night, Grand Canyon University, which I assume is just, like, a community college or something, they were about to knock the Crimson Tide right out of this thing. And then just no one could make a shot from there on out. It was kind of sad, actually. It was fun to watch for a while, though. Yeah, Yale gets knocked off by Auburn. You have Mississippi State, of course, got blown out by the Spartans, who then go on to not even really be competitive against North Carolina. I'm sorry. Something's got to change with the Spartans. Like, Izzo's got to, like, fully commit to actually using the weapons at his disposal, using the transfer portal, you know, doing the one-and-done thing. I mean, you
got
to wait for...
Has the game got kind of passed him by?
Perhaps a bit, honestly. I kind of wonder about that myself, because you've now been riding a national title from, like, almost 25 years ago, and you're at the point now where you've kind of, like a lot of these traditionalist coaches, like, we're not doing the transfer portal and the one and dones and all that. Like, they've always been like, we develop our guys for 4 years. And for a while, you could get away with just doing that. That simply isn't the reality of the sport now, though.
No, the players are too impatient. They want to win. They want to win now.
And you can't just win with basically four-year projects. Right. That's just not how that works. I hope he can get a natty again before he hangs up. But, I mean, you're at 70 now, man. Like, time is kind of the essence here. And I feel like we're looking at D'Antonio the later years here real quick. And that's, and you're out badly that way.
Oh, boy.
The other interesting story to come out of March Madness, you may remember the head coach of Long Beach State. Yes, I swear I didn't make that school up either. He got fired right before they went on a absolute tear. Like, they ultimately ended up winning the Big West and got their automatic bid into the tournament. And now, the scumbag AD of that school, he actually went and took credit for the team's tournament run, saying that he fired Coach Dan Monson before the conference tournament in an effort to inspire the team.
Yeah, it always does it, doesn't it?
My belief and hope is that by doing what I did and the timing of it, they would play inspired, and that's what they did. I'm not trying to pat myself on the back, but it worked. And yet, that's exactly what he went and did, is go and pat himself on the back. And ultimately, it didn't work out, as in his last game, after he'd already been fired from the team, They end up getting blown out by Arizona in the first round by like 20 points.
Yikes.
That's just insane to me. Like, he'd been coaching for 2 decades, but they decided to let him do the lame duck thing and coach out the postseason. Then they win their conference and get the automatic berth into the tournament. And now your AD is like, yeah, I did that. Like, really? Really, dude? What are you? What are we doing?
Look what I did, guys.
I made this all happen. If I wouldn't have fired you, you wouldn't have done all that. Like, what an a-hole.
Yeah.
Who's going to want to go and coach that school? I mean,
it's that boss that we've all had that, you know, a scared employee, a angry employee is a good one.
Yeah, we've known a few of those over the years, certainly, mm-hmm. but that just floored me that you can actually, like, he seriously thought that was, he was going to take credit for inspiring that team to go out and do what they did because he fired their head coach. Like, no, that's not how this works.
You just keep telling yourself that, bud.
Whatever helps you sleep at night, I guess, but...
If the team had lost, you'd be like, I had no idea what was going on.
I had nothing to do with any of this. Like, I didn't make this team completely quit, which ultimately, I mean, they got... I mean, they were facing Arizona, who's kind of a powerhouse in the tourney these days. So, I mean, I can't really hold that too much against them. But I guarantee you, he wasn't saying the same thing after that loss. That's for damn sure.
Yeah.
Here's Sir Sly. Your local alternative is Solid State Radio. Cross, is it your local alternative, Solid State Radio? I'm sorry, Adam. We have to do it. We can't avoid this as much as we might like to. Let's do that hockey.
Yeah, before we touch on the Red Wings, just a couple seconds to the NCAA hockey tournament that's going on.
You really are just trying to stall here, aren't you?
Oh, absolutely. Some big matchups possibly coming on the way. I mean, you've got Michigan, U of M, against North Dakota. Then you've got the Spartans against Western Michigan Broncos. If Michigan State wins their game and Michigan wins their game on Easter Sunday, 6:30 p.m., we could be watching Michigan State in the hockey tournament.
Playing for a natty? Really?
Playing for the final Frozen Four, yep.
Well, I'll be damned.
You got Boston College, Michigan Tech, another Michigan team in there, and Wisconsin. I always screw this name up. Quinnipiac?
Yeah, Quinnipiac.
Quinnipiac.
Something like that.
So that is something. Michigan State, Trey Augustine. This kid, this goaltender, who is a Red Wings prospect, by the way, has just been fantastic. I think at one point going into the playoffs, his goal against average was like a 1.6. 1.7.
Wow.
I mean, this kid is just fan. Sebastian Kosa better wipe off his rearview mirror because everybody's considered him to be the future of the Red Wings. Well, that this Trey Augustine may have something to say about that. But let's talk about the Detroit Red Wings.
If we have to, I guess.
Well, I mean, they lost on Saturday 1-0 to a team that was on a 17-game winning streak, the Nashville Predators. And held them to just one goal.
17-game winning streak?
I think that's what it was, yeah. Leading into it, I will double-check on that
that's
one.
That's insane.
Now it's an 18-game after beating the Wings on Saturday.
I mean, you can't even really be mad about that. I still am, but...
Yeah, looking at their schedule... okay, no. Something's not right here because... Yeah, they had a loss against Minnesota on the 10th, loss against the Habs on the 5th. But, I mean...
But they've been kind of on a tear lately nonetheless.
8-2 against San Jose, of course. 3-0 against Florida. That's something. A shutout against a hot team like Florida. We dip into February for a minute. And they, through the 17th through the 29th, they did nothing but win against St. Louis, against Vegas, L.A., Anaheim, Ottawa, Minnesota. Just... on a tear, a dark horse to say the very least. Will they make the playoffs? I have no idea. But the one takeaway I took away from that Detroit Nashville game was Mo Sider can drop the gloves.
Clearly,
we saw that happen in the first period, Philip Forsberg and Mo Sider decided to have a discussion against the boards. And
might say that.
Mo Sider was just dropping bombs. I mean, Philip Forsberg was no slouch either, but he
certainly not.
But Sider connected so many times on Forsberg to such a degree that you could actually see the people behind the glass just like cringe in horror. As I mean, just a couple uppercuts that just connected. And Forsberg, I don't know if he's gonna, you know, be, I don't know if he's eating through a straw or he's, you know, can't remember his colors or what, but he was done. He was just absolutely dotted.
You just love to see it. Look, I'm just happy to see someone actually on this team can still, you know, get physical and fight.
Well, here's a real shocker that was his first fighting major in his NHL career. I find that, I don't believe it. I still don't believe it. As physical as he is and as much as a pest as he gets under people's skins, that's his first fight?
Apparently.
I mean, a lot of people were watching, like, well, I'm not fighting that guy. I mean, just dotted him. Did you see the... Oh, yeah.
So it was... that was nice to see.
Yeah. Very, very enjoyable. I mean, a team that's on a hot tear, like Predators, the Wings have been able to shut them down. But the Wings are not helping themselves out in any way because now you've got the Washington Capitals all of a sudden remembering how to play hockey.
Oh, boy.
You got Ovechkin.
Ovechkin had, what, 2 goals last night?
I didn't see, but
like,
yeah.
I got to see a little bit of that game. I think he was responsible for 2 of Washington's 3 goals in that game. Probably. And I gotta say, I'm laying this prediction down right now. Next year, he's going to break the record.
I think so. I think you're right.
The goal, like Gretzky's goal record, is going to fall next season.
So he's at 40. He needs 48 goals. He could get another 5
this season easily.
Easily. So in that Eastern wild card, you got Tampa at 85 points. They have been on a serious tear, too. Washington at 79. Detroit nipping at the heels, 78. Islanders are starting to cool down a little bit. They're starting to come back down to earth. They're at 75 points. So the Wings could still make the playoffs. But, I mean, they have a schedule that is just kind of – it's going to be rough. I mean, you've got you're playing Washington on Tuesday. How fun is that going
to
be?
Oh God, I'm not looking forward to it, man. I'm not going to lie to you.
In Washington,
this is going to suck.
They're going to be in DC for this one. Then the Wings take on the bunch of jerks on Thursday. Saturday, 12.
How many do you think Ovi's going to hang on us in that game?
How many does he need? 40. 49. He's going to beat against the Red Wings.
He only needs 46.
He needs 46. He's going to score 47. Against the Wings. Take that to Vegas.
Lock that one in now. Yeah. Get on FanKings now and or DraftDuel or whatever it is. And
Saturday, 12:30 puck drop against Florida Panthers. That's going to be rough. And then you're skating into the final lap. Tampa on Monday the 1st, then Rangers, Buffalo, Washington again on Tuesday, April 9th, Pittsburgh, Toronto, and then a home and home against the Montreal Canadiens to round out the season. That'd be a good way to gain some ground against the Habs to maybe possibly squeak into a playoff spot.
Yeah, I don't know. That's kind of what it's looking like.
They're going to have to do something, man. This is not looking good because, I mean, looking at Washington.
They're now a point ahead of us, and now your next game is against them.
Yep. But, I mean, Washington does have to go through Toronto and Boston in the month of March, and then Buffalo, Pittsburgh, Carolina, they got Ottawa, Detroit again. Yeah, I think Washington's probably going to have our number. They're going to be taking our spot there in the playoffs. So it'll be another playoff drought.
I'm a bit worried about it, man. If I'm being entirely honest with you, I'm not feeling all that confident in playoffs this year.
I'm not going to be need to be talked off any kind of ledge because I know
I do. I'm panicking like hell right now.
If they make it to that second wild card spot, I think your first opponent would be Florida, and no thank you.
Yeah, that is also true. Like I like my chances against Boston a lot better, quite frankly.
Well, it'd be Boston or I mean it'd be Florida or New York Rangers. If the playoffs were to start today, it'd be Washington versus New York and Tampa versus Florida.
Ugh, I don't like either one of these.
Yeah. That would be. I'd rather Detroit played Boston. Quite honestly.
No, I agree.
But that's just not happening.
Certainly doesn't look that way.
Yeah, you're not getting out of the first round. I mean, more hockey is better than less hockey. But I mean,
But I'd like to have a fighting chance.
Yeah, you don't.
That'd be kind of nice.
Yeah. That's kind of what I'm thinking. But we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, I suppose so.
I mean, the Wings, Larkin is back, and everybody's kind of like keying into their game. So
yeah,
who knows? Maybe they make it work.
Yeah, maybe. It is happy hour at Solid State Radio. Stick around. Ocean Alley at Solid State Radio, and apparently it's that time again where we remind you that if you go and get yourself an OnlyFans, that you're just never going to be able to work anywhere again.
Yeah.
A former teacher at a high school in St. Louis who resigned after her OnlyFans page was reported to district officials has been fired after just days on a new job. Brianna Coppedge was a teacher for 5 years, spending two at St. Clair High School. She was put on leave in October 2023 after it was discovered she was using OnlyFans to supplement her teaching salary. After her OnlyFans became public, Coppedge told St. Louis's KMOV that she made $1 million on the platform. Her yearly teaching salary at the time was $42,000. Who says we don't value education in this country?
So, tell me she doesn't love her job. I mean, she really enjoys teaching. She's probably a really good teacher. She's making $1 million from her
OnlyFans, and she's still working as a teacher.
She's working. What do you? Everybody else in the teacher's lounge is mad that she shows up like in a Lexus.
Apparently, that's what I'm guessing.
Yeah, it's, you know, a lot of this, I think it's jealousy.
I'm sure it is. Like, you know, it's either some parent
this thing. Just my husband was checking her out, so I got to tell her that I'm not going to talk to my husband about it. I'm going to talk to her, and that
I'm going to get her fired.
This is a real problem with women, is that they, instead of blaming their husbands, they're blaming the women,
blaming her for having the audacity to what, be hot? Like, how dare you?
I mean, I don't know, because it's like, are they worried that the kids are going to see the OnlyFans? You're supposed to be a certain age. So at some point, I'm wondering if she has a legitimate lawsuit against these school systems.
Possibly. I mean, I don't know if against the school system necessarily, because, I mean, they're in their rights to hire and fire whoever they want, and I'm sure Missouri's an at-will employment state or whatever.
Yeah, but I mean, if they're going to say, you're being fired because of OnlyFans, then she can take that and say it's discrimination.
I wonder if you could sue the parents, really. But
yeah,
either...
I wonder. Yeah, I mean...
Whoever is it?
Whistleblowers kind of thing. I mean, I mean, she's not really doing anything wrong, so I guess whistleblower is a bad terminology, but what is she doing wrong? I mean, I'm sure there's been teachers who, you know, were working a sexy restaurant, or maybe they're a stripper, or
right,
you know, or whatever. Hopefully not any of the teachers I had, because none of my teachers were real OnlyFans or stripper worthy.
Yeah, no.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the stage, Mrs. Lucy. Yeah, she teaches accounting by day. By night, she's lining up your debits and credits.
Oh, good Lord. Coppedge said, so she got a job with Compass Health as a community support specialist. She told KMOV she gave the company her previous employment history and the correct information when she applied, but was fired after only days in the office.
Wow.
They admitted they didn't call my references or Google me before they hired me. They claim I violated their social media policy, but will not respond to me with how I violated it. The Compass Health has not yet responded. Like, you're no kids, you're not even around kids. Like, what's the problem here?
Yeah, I'm fired. I mean, it's probably one of those at-will things where they're like, we just want to get rid of you. That is terrible.
That seems like such BS, man.
You know how you avoid this, school systems? School systems, gather around. I want to. You know how you avoid stuff like this? Pay your teachers. I mean, it's not the school system. A lot of it's the communities. It's in this town.
A bunch of communities that like just hear the word millage and faint.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God, we might actually have to pay money to support our schools? Oh my God.
Oh, yeah.
How could we do such a thing?
But meantime, you have these men and women in a profession where They're teaching our kids to make sure our kids aren't a bunch of nincompoops.
Right.
And they're having to buy their own supplies. They're supposed to. They have to supplement their own income to make sure, just for the passion of teaching, and you don't want to pay them. And then you're shocked. You have the audacity to be shocked when they find a lucrative way of going about it. Well, too bad.
Preach it, man.
Yeah, from the heavens. Too bad. And I was like,
if you don't want your hot teachers going on OnlyFans, then I guess you better start paying them better.
Exactly.
Simple. That's the moral of the story here.
Yeah, the hotter you are, the more money you get. There we go. We just solved all the problems. Meanwhile, Mrs. Curley from Lapeer East, she was getting about $37 a year.
Well, because you know you didn't have to worry about her quitting and going to...
No, she was the one I'd worry about if they started giving teachers guns. Seriously, that bitch would have shot somebody just out of principle. Or she would have probably shot,
probably
the principal.
Shot the principal.
Duck, Mr. Warner. It's Mrs. Lucy with an Uzi. Oh, sorry.
Here's Kings and Leon at Solid State Radio. The Strokes, your local alternative Solid State Radio. And I'm sorry, the NFL's finally, I think, gone too far with this.
Yeah.
They've passed a rule apparently banning the hip drop tackle as of today. They've adopted what's being termed the new hip drop rule. The rule outlaws the type of tackle the NFL competition committee says occurred about once per game last season and resulted in an injury rate 20 times a normal tackle.
Talk me through a hip drop tackle.
Okay, so it consists of three components. The specific language from the rule proposal: one, grabs the runner with both hands or wraps the runner with both arms, lifts themselves off the ground, not officially listed in the rule but emphasized by the competition committee, and unweights himself by swiveling or dropping his hips and or lower body, landing on or trapping the runner's legs at or below the knee.
Oof.
And I'll show you, because they actually posted an example of said tackle. Like, I don't know if you can see, like, I don't see what the issue with that is.
You think that the tackle-y would be cushioned by the person doing the tackle.
You'd think that.
You almost think like the tackler would be sacrificing part of his body.
Right.
Unless I'm just seeing that wrong, but I mean, if it doesn't happen that often, I mean, I guess it shouldn't make that big of a deal if it doesn't happen that often.
It apparently happened at least once a game last season on average.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
But players are not happy about it. The Players Association actually came out against it, and that wasn't enough to dissuade them from this. Darius Slay was on Twitter complaining, "It's about to be a lot of missed tackles." Former Lions fullback Jason Kaminda, "I'm so tired of the NFL's competition committee. This blank is getting ridiculous." DJ Reader, our newly acquired cornerback, not happy about it either. "These rules getting crazy, I hear. Two-hand tag better fits the game." J.J. Watt says, "Just fast forward to the belts with flags on them." And that seems to be a pretty common reaction from mostly defensive players. "No horse collar, no duck in the head, no hip drop, no slamming, no big hits on defenseless receiver. Y'all must have not had to tackle these dudes before."
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they haven't forget. They're forgetting that it's a fast game. Sometimes they probably don't even know they're doing it. They just tackle the guy, get him down. That's my job.
And apparently it's going to be subject to a 15-yard penalty if the rule is broken. And it does at times just feel like they're really trying to make it impossible to actually, you know, legally tackle a receiver now.
I mean, I'm all for making the sport safer in the sense that, you know, players can have a productive, happy life after the game.
Right.
But at some point they're going to have to throw their hands up and say, "Listen, these men know exactly what they're getting into, and there are risks." I mean, you can add the protective equipment. You can like in the NHL, you can take out hits to the head. But after, when it's all said and done, it's a game. It's a very physical game.
Very violent game.
Yeah.
There's no getting around that.
No. People are going to get hurt. That's just what it is.
It's the nature of the sport.
Yeah. So, I mean, at some point, they're just going to have to throw hands up in the air. I'm sure the players have to sign a contract or sign a waiver saying, yeah, I know exactly what I'm getting into. This is what's going on. I'm going to this willingly. And just leave it at that instead of, you know, diluting the game, diluting the physicality of the game. It's just you're putting out a product that nobody really knows what to do anymore.
Like, no one's really entirely certain what the rules even are at this point,
because those people who wear tinfoil hats, and we know at least one of them in our lives, they're going to say, oh, that's just a rule that they're going to have out there that they can pull out if it doesn't go the way for the team that they want.
And honestly, I don't, at this point, blame people who feel that way.
Makes sense.
It's becoming such a problem that I truthfully, don't blame people for kind of getting on the conspiracy train there.
It's the train is getting a lot of cars. Okay, there's a lot of that going on, because what's going to happen is this rule is going to be implemented, and it's going to happen every game, but it's not going to get called on this one. It's not going to get called on that one. But as soon as you get a star player getting tackled for a team that everybody wants to win, all of a sudden, here come the yellow flags, 15-yard penalty.
Yeah, there's no way that's not exactly how that ends up. Like, they're going to end up just deciding that, you know, basically everything's a penalty now, and it's just going
to be... It is. I mean, it's terrible. I mean, I'm sure that there's a statistic out there that if you, in a typical NFL games, how many flags are thrown? Because it seems to me, every play there's a flag thrown.
It does seem like it is every play anymore. I know it's not necessarily every play, but it's just so many of them for things that's a problem now. That's illegal now. What are we even doing here?
Is this football or not? And I mean,
kind of like the how it seemed like for years we were constantly arguing about what is a catch in the NFL.
Oh yeah. No, you have to have two hands on it. Well, one hand, but you're gonna have to. You have to have one foot here and one foot there, and you put your left foot in, you put your left foot out, shake it all about.
Yeah, that's kind of what it's all about.
So, I don't know. I mean, NFL. I know what they're trying to do. They're trying to get rid of lawsuits. They're trying to get rid of injuries, but they're trying to give themselves a bargaining chip for when there's a team that they want to win, but. I don't know.
Give the refs an extra something to...
Another toy in the toy chest of the refs. But I don't know. We'll have to see if it will get implemented.
That we will. It is Happy Hour at your local alternative, Solid State Radio. Happy hours. We get set to get the hell out of Dodge here on a Monday afternoon. Stick around, though. A full hour of local original something or other is next at 6 o'clock.
Mushroom growing. We're going to learn how to grow your own Michigan mushrooms. Some of them will get you high.
Local Michigan-made mushrooms Michigan on made sessions, rubbish. Apparently. A full hour of local original music is up next here on Sessions. All being well, we will talk to you tomorrow afternoon at 3 or so. See ya!